honesty, passion, experience. It's Timberwolves Explosion, hosted on the Paladino Live Network. And now, your host, Paladino Joey. Hello again, Timberwolves fans. Are you ready for the explosion of Timberwolves basketball? I am your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Awajin. Timberwolves Explosion is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps. I thank you, each and every one of you, for downloading and listening to this show. It is a great pleasure to be back on board with you once again today. The sun is shining here in the Twin Cities. At least that's where I'm from anyway. The Timberwolves hopes on the season. Hopefully the sun keeps shining. That's what we're hoping for. A couple of frustrating losses to the Cleveland Cavaliers. An incredibly frustrating loss. Players and fans getting very irritated with the officiating in that one. And the Laker game, that just felt like, that just felt like a sinking ship. That no matter how many times you tried to plug a hole, two more holes would pop up, or leaks, or whatever the term is. And then the leak rubbed off into the Clipper game, as we stayed in the same building, as we joked about last week, Crypto.com Arena. Get your crypto on there, of course. Timberwolves went down by 22 points, came back and won the basketball game in incredible fashion, won by 18 points in a game they trailed by 22. That is, ladies and gentlemen, a 40-point turnaround. The Timberwolves, though, unfortunately, overall for the past week, went 1-2. Yes, had to go with that one because 1-2 is 1-2. It's a losing record. And, of course, that Laker game was blech. The Cleveland game, blech. Clipper game, all right. So at least hopefully we get that killer instinct back. Anthony Edwards certainly had it. Rudy Gobert was busy complaining, saying that the referees are, betting on games and such. I don't know. I hope that's not happening. You can tell it's getting to be spring-like out there. Beautiful tweeting birds in the background, if you can hear that. Got to have the window open. Even if it's not that warm, but it's warmer. Anyhow, well, Timberwolves hoping it's going to be warmer, so to speak, as, again, Karl-Anthony Towns reevaluated in 4 weeks. Well, hopefully the first week, well, we're about 1 week, and I think he finally had surgery on Monday. As you can see, I'm sitting there in Los Angeles watching the team kind of, not play very well versus the Lakers. You come back, you get your hopes up, and then down it goes. So three games to preview. We'll be playing the Utah Jazz twice, which I'm totally fine with. Hopefully the Wolves can take care of business there. A back-to-back, though, Monday into Tuesday with the Denver Nuggets, and then we don't play again until Friday versus the Cleveland Cavaliers again. So we wrap up that season series hopefully with a win. Hopefully. I mean, Cleveland also has 40 wins on the season already. So it's going to be interesting. It's definitely a logjam at the top of the Western Conference. Yeah, it's a logjam at the top of the Western Conference. gotta earn it, don't we? Cleveland Cavaliers 104. Extremely frustrating game, to say the least. Yeah, it really was. Wolves fans, a lot of ticked off Wolves fans. You see highlights, this and that. Rudy Gobert had some good moments in the game, but overall, the frustration mounted as the game progressed. Definitely a free throw disparity in this one. The Wolves attempted, 22 free throws. I guess that's not that bad. Cleveland attempted 36. Yeah. They didn't even shoot well, which is the funny part. That's what helped keep the Wolves in the game. Chris LeVert with 15 points off the bench. Jared Allen kind of flopping around, getting away with this, getting away with that. And it was extremely frustrating. 21 free throws attempted by Jared Allen. That was ridiculous. But yeah, 33-18. I don't know where that came from. Obviously, he's a good player and I like him and everything. I'd love to have Jared Allen on the Timberwolves. I would. Even added two blocks and two steals, but Jared Allen is not a 33-point, 18-rebound kind of a guy, is he? Is he that good? I don't think he is. I don't know. Gorgeous Yang. It sounds like Gorgie Zhang, kind of, but gorgeous Yang. Dean Wade, not D. Wade. I know, I always joke about that. 33 minutes of, missed three-pointers, basically, and four rebounds and a couple of assists. Yay. That's great. Isaac Okoro, 9 points. Darius Garland tore us up pretty good, but he did have six turnovers in the game and even got into foul trouble, which is interesting. But generally speaking, like, I don't know, this was an insanely frustrating game. Rudy Gobert, again, accusing the refs of gambling on the game. So, doing the hand gesture, like the money, you know, the money roll thing. You know, I think you all know what it is, and you saw him do it 15 times probably already. Anthony Edwards shooting 7 of 27 didn't help either. I mean, the Paladino shot ratio deal, like I always talk about on this show, 27 field goal attempts, 19 points. I mean, yikes. But only 5 attempts as well at the free throw line. It's kind of like you earn your free throws and all that stuff. Obviously, jacking up shots, you know, bad time and just flat out missing. Conley, 0 of 5 from downtown. That would be 3-point range. Anthony Edwards, 0 of 7 from downtown. That is 0 of 12 from downtown for your backcourt. Sounds absolutely fantastic.
We were awful. Like, awful.
Not the recipe for success. Absolutely not. I mean, if Anthony Edwards and Mike Conley are 0 of 12 from downtown, it's pretty bad. Sucks. Rudy Gobert fouled out, and again, that's some ongoing frustration with that whole Jared Allen thing. I thought the referees were awfully biased towards Jared Allen, that they were betting on Cleveland winning the game, that type of thing. So, obviously, that's, you know, dipping into the integrity of the league, and Rudy Gobert paid handsomely. Handsomely paid dearly, I guess is a better way to say it. Paid handsomely. No, he didn't get paid. He ended up paying out $100,000, which, oh, big deal. Yeah, no, it's $100,000. I mean, that's a pretty big fine. You know, usually like $20,000 is like, yeah. What I don't like is the arrogance of the players at times about that. Like, I don't care. I don't care. What's that? Yeah, there's those of us who would kill for that kind of, maybe not literally, figuratively, we would kill for that kind of money. We would, like, you know, like, we work our ass off for $20,000. Work your absolute tail off for $100. And then it's like, I don't give a damn. I do it again. So occasionally, that just shows the just complete lack of awareness. You know, when you do stuff like that, it's an arrogance level that I don't like. I don't appreciate, honestly. And I'm not the whiny little guy type, if you know what I mean. Like, yeah, I'm not the whiny little guy type. Let's just leave it at that. Like, I don't expect handouts from anybody, that kind of thing. But at the same time, you know, the way you just treat $100,000 like it's absolutely nothing, like it's an empty can of beer, like, and throw it in the recycle bin. Really? Seriously, man? So that kind of... That didn't sit well with me, and even Anthony Edwards a while back, you know, I'll take the fine. Okay, take the fine, but I don't know. It's kind of annoying. Good thing that money does go to charities and such. That's great. So maybe that's their attitude about it, and I'm overreacting, but still, do you realize how hard people work for $100,000? You know, like, you know how much OT I'd have to work to get that? You know, I mean, I could get there, believe it, you know. Luckily, I could, because obviously salaries are much higher now thanks to inflation, you know, and that's obviously a lot of things across both aisles, unfortunately, but we'll get off of that as soon as possible. Naz Reid helped make up for Jared Allen, 34 points off the bench, outstanding game. Again, he heard Timberwolves' explosion when I gave him a very gentle Johnny Flynn memorial. Hopefully the player I give this week will do the same thing. Every time I give a player a Johnny Flynn Memorial, or say on the Brave the Wild, a James Shepard Memorial popcorn maker, you know, that kind of thing, like they're making popcorn because they're not playing, they're on the bench. you know, they come back the next week and have a great game, you know, almost immediately the same day or pretty much. I swear, it's like, do players listen to podcasts? I don't know. Is it just the craziest coincidences ever, or why does it keep happening? Because it does. It just does. 34 points for Naz Reid after last week, like, oh, of 7 from here, and, you know, he was, you know, he didn't make a shot the whole game. It's like, what the hell happened to you, man? I remember that last week. That kind of like Anthony Edwards with the 0-5, and or 0-7, pardon me, and Conley 0-5. It's kind of funny. Alexander Walker didn't shoot particularly well. We could have used some more there, 2-of-8. That just, you know, it just didn't work out. Simply did not work out. The guards sucked in this game. The guards sucked. Jordan McLaughlin at least got to the line and made both of his free throws. But overall, the guard play sucked in the game, and that's kind of what happened in a lot of ways. Again, Naz Reid helped make up for Jared Allen, but nobody made up for the other guy, Darius Garland. You know that guy. You know him. Jaden McDaniels also getting into foul trouble. A decent game, but kind of, this is kind of Jaden McDaniels in 23-24 right here. 13 points, 5 of 11, 1 of 4 from outside. Let's see, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 5 personal fouls in 40 minutes. That's Jaden McDaniels this year. Is that the step you wanted him to take when he got paid, what, $135 million or whatever the heck it is? Or is it $148? It's like really high. When he got that huge raise, is that what you were hoping for? Now, I don't think he's making it this year, right? It's an extension that doesn't kick in, I think, until next year or even the year after. But still, what the hell, man? Obviously, he does little things, this and that. But some of those little things are personal fouls, too. And just, I don't know, just missing shots over and over again. But I suppose that does show up in the box score at the end of the day. And it makes you feel so warm and fuzzy. Oh, it does, it does. It makes you feel wonderful. I'm going to check in. Jaden McDaniels' big bucks kicks in next season. Yep, $22 million a year. Wonderful. This year he's already making $9 million. I'll take $9 million, 8.9, you know. I'll take it. Sure. Give it up, baby. Monte Morris being out. You know, it's like, gosh dang it, we just got you. And he's like got like issues with the whatever that thing is called, hamstring. He's got issues with the hamstring, and that's a pain in the butt. That's annoying. Kyle Anderson's probably in the final year of his with his final year with the Wolves, where maybe hopefully somebody like Josh Minot can take over. Obviously, he does have athleticism, a defensive player, and all that good stuff. So I'm guessing Josh Minot will finally get some action. Hetzel Wundermore Jr., I have no idea. I don't know. It's a bummer, and it's sad. But again, an insanely frustrating game, and probably taking too long on that one. March the 10th, we go from March to 8th. Happy birthday, Andy Owajan, 46 years old, my brother. And, happy birthday, somebody in Los Angeles. March the 10th, 120-109, a game that just kind of felt like the Wolves' defense was non-existent. Rudy Gobert did not play in the game. Naz Reid 25 points again. Starting, though, this time. He had 4 blocks in the game, too. Great game by Naz Reid. He's definitely knocking on the door of a Lone Wolf Award. Nikhil Alexander-Walker is trying to do the same as well. 15 points, 2 steals, 5 assists, 7 rebounds. You know, a lot of the starters played fairly well in this game. Vikings make another trade? No, I'm kidding. Yeah, the Vikings recently made a trade here, getting a second first-round pick, moving up after their first-round pick, if that makes any sense. Okay, sorry. Leaving the sound on because I needed notifications for something. But, Minot and Moore did play with Deshaun Nix as well. Luka Garza did play 10 minutes in the game, provided something, but I don't know. Obviously, his defense is mediocre at best, and that's why he doesn't get a whole lot of playing time. Anthony Davis always seems to be a pain in the ass for us. I'd love to see the Wolves go at Anthony Davis the way Sabonis did. Domantas Sabonis, I mean, he took it to the son of a gun. Because I'm sick of Anthony Davis, I'm telling you. I like him just fine when he's not playing against us. But when he's playing against the Wolves, I am sick of Anthony Davis, man. It's like too much. It's irritating to watch. Every Mickey frickin' gosh darn time, he always kills us. 25 rebounds? Get out of here, man. 5 assists? Ugh. 7 steals, 3 blocks. Are you serious? Are you serious? 27 and 25. It's like you don't even realize it. Like, rebound the damn ball. Maybe make some shots once in a while, too. Damn it. 2 of 9 from three-point range. Anthony Edwards' three-point percentage is just freaking awful. Like, freaking horrible. That's 2 of 16. Do you realize how bad that is over the course of 2 games? It would have been nice to at least split. Could you at least split him? Mike Conley's been a shell of himself, and it's heartbreaking. Conveniently, right after the contract was signed. But I suppose he was already kind of heading that way before. Please don't get old on us now, Mike. Please, please. You were looking so good for so long. Please, Mike. But again, you have still have multiple point guards. McLaughlin played 21 minutes in the game. Warren played 23 minutes a game. That'd be TJ Warren, only 4 points. So unfortunately, his shooting not good. 2 of 7. Could have used a little more help there. But I don't know. This game the whole damn time, it just felt like it just wasn't meant to be. It was like a patient that just wasn't going to make it. Like, it just weren't, you know? It's just, the wound was just too deep, you know, that kind of thing. And it got deeper and deeper. Obviously, there was a ton of hope. Like, okay, now we're getting somewhere in that third quarter. And then as you got to the end of the third quarter, it was just like, I don't know, like, it was just like, just like game over. It was awful. The Lakers started hitting shots. The Wolves started missing. The defense just wasn't there. Defensive presence just wasn't there. And obviously no Rudy Gobert. That certainly hurts. Would we have won the game with Rudy Gobert? I don't know. Probably not. But maybe Anthony Davis wouldn't have gotten all of what he did, including 25 rebounds. I mean, that was ridiculous. It's just, you know, having possession of the ball helps. It really, really, really helps. The Wolves had 38 rebounds in the game. I mean, again, Anthony Davis had 27 all by himself, heading up to 56. Rebounds mean a lot, because if you don't rebound the ball, you don't have the ball. If you don't have the ball, you can't score. If the other team has the ball over and over and over and over, they're going to beat you. They're simply going to beat you. It's just the way it is. Rebounding the ball is so important in this game. It is one of the most basic, bare basic things in basketball, from peewees to the pros. You know, just, and if, I don't know, the Wolves just got absolutely smoked in the rebounding. I remember at Wolves and Spurs many years ago, going to a game, you know, way, way back, way before I was a ticket holder even, when Garnett was like a tiny little, well, not tiny, but rail thin second-year guy with the new, brand new logo and uniforms on the Wolves in 96, 97. There was the little, you know, how there's like little stat board. I won't call it a scoreboard, it's a stat board on the ring, you know, at the ring in the arena and Target Center. And there was a rebound one, you know, and it was the old digital style, like, I mean the old style with lights, not digital, but like digital light look, if you know what I'm trying to say, kind of light graphics type of thing. And it was like Spurs 55, Wolves like 30. It's like, yeah, they killed us. It was games like that. You know, like, it's the same kind of thing here. That's pretty much what this was. I mean, you know, Torian Prince had his nice little moments getting into the basket. No defensive presence at all on the middle. I mean, Prince would have a couple of easy ones. D'Angelo Russell was relegated, only 13 points. That's okay with me. Austin Reeves, like, killed us off and on with some corner threes. Reeves with his threes, 19 points. Yeah, I mean, we just left guys open. Even Rui Hachimura, 3 of 5. Come on. Come on. Ugh. LeBron James, almost a triple-double. He had his moments. I mean, LeBron James is the Magic Johnson of today's game. He's not Michael Jordan. He's Magic Johnson. Not that there's anything wrong with that, by the way. Did I like Magic Johnson? You bet I did. You bet I did. Like Ronald Reagan said years ago, does America believe in magic? You bet we do. Yeah? Yeah? That kind of magic, though. Not the evil stuff. Just magic on the basketball court. That magic. And LeBron James is the Magic Johnson of today's game. No doubt about it, with a little extra, well, with extra scoring. I won't say a little. With extra scoring, obviously. And the longevity's off the charts. No off-the-court issues forcing him out of the sport, unfortunately. That was very, very, very unfortunate. He probably would have played up to what LeBron James' age is today. Magic probably would have played up till he was about 40. Probably. And that's what a lot of people say, because he loved the game so much. And I respect LeBron James's longevity and stick-to-itiveness. I do. I don't like everything about him, of course. I don't like the GOAT talk, even though he's in the GOAT conversation. But to me, Michael's the GOAT. He just is. Maybe at the end of the day, it doesn't really, truly matter. Everyone just calm down, I guess, at the end of the day. They're both like Mount Rushmore players in the league. So God bless you, LeBron James. Great career, obviously, and keep at it, I suppose, because we're going to miss him. There's players right now that are aging that I'm not going to miss. You can probably guess one of them plays in Northern California. I'm not going to miss him at all. Like, he can just go away. Others, like LeBron, of course I'm going to miss LeBron James. Of course. You know, like Anthony Edwards, you know, hopefully 20 years from now, you know, he's going to be just getting to the end. I'm going to miss the hell out of him too, because I love what he does. But I didn't love what he did in this game, and the Wolves sucked in this game, bottom line. And obviously they were undermanned, and it was what it was. No Rudy Gobert, no Karl Anthony Towns, and the Lakers took advantage of it, and it was annoying to watch. Next, Los Angeles Clippers, the other LA team, and it looked like they had us beat. Oh, did it look like they had us beat. We were digging a deeper and deeper hole in that first half. No defense. no defense, no offense, they suck. Like a certain classmate said many years ago, no defense, no offense, they suck. Luckily, the tide started turning in the second quarter. The Wolves did win the second quarter by 5 points, but it didn't feel like a whole lot. But 31-21 after first quarter, it was like, really, man? That's the best we can do? But then this lanky guy off the bench that we acquired last year with Mike Conley from Utah showed up to play. He showed up to play. And by the way, the other guy from Utah, Mike Conley, showed up to play. Rudy Gobert, well, he was okay. He was okay. 4 of 7 from the floor, 11 rebounds. He was okay. He didn't get into foul trouble, at least. Thank you. But Nikhil Alexander-Walker just missed 1 3-pointer. He made 9 of 10 from the floor, 28 total points, and an amazing second half overall. But see, the main difference with the Wolves, not only the fact that Nikhil Alexander-Walker hit his shots and hit his shots again and again and again, and Conley, 5 of 8. Thank you. Conley, 5 of 8 from the floor. Amazing game. 9 of 15 overall. 5 of 8 from outside, pardon me, Conley. It really helped the Wolves turn the tide in the second half. But, yeah, the fact that we actually started making shots midway through the second quarter-ish, mid to late, like the second half of the second quarter, obviously I hope that makes sense, like the third-eighth of the game. The third-eighth of the game, right? The tide started turning. But not only did we start scoring, but we played some freaking defense. Thank you. We actually played defense, and we played really good defense. We, the Timberwolves, pardon me, played really, I'm not on the team, right? I know. The Timberwolves played really good defense. Obviously, again, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, those long arms. I mean, I just, the minute that guy stepped on the court for the Timberwolves last year, it was like, this guy's a difference maker. Way beyond what I thought. Not this mediocre first-round pick that, he was supposed to go 11th overall. Yeah, thank God we didn't take him. And they, you know, but then again, what did we get? Jared Culver. Ooh, even better. Jared Culver, man. Yeah, he might as well have taken Walker at 6th overall. Might as well. He turned out better, didn't he? He ended up slipping deeper into that first round. Well, eventually wound up with Utah years later and came to Minnesota. Obviously, again, he was projected to come to Minnesota with the 11th pick in the mock drafts at times. In fact, for quite a while. That's why I knew his name so well at the time. And I kept keeping up with him. And like, yeah, he's just okay. But then you watch him play. No, he's more than okay. Obviously, his offensive game isn't necessarily his calling card, his trademark, all that cute stuff. It's his defensive presence. Obviously, the long arms. He's a guy who's lanky and long and uses it. You know, he uses it like a prey, like a spider. Just, you know. Just does an amazing job. Like he's like Spider-Man out there. Maybe that should be his nickname. Spider-Man, Nikhil Alexander-Walker. With those long legs, long arms. You know, he takes advantage of it. You know, creates a defensive presence legitimately. But then when he gets hot from the floor, that's just, you know, it's like the best gravy in the world. There's one thing when you say there's gravy or icing on the cake, but it's like it's the best gravy or icing you could ever imagine. And he brings such a wonderful aspect of the game. And you know, when he becomes a two-way player like that, you want to keep him till he's 90 years old. You know, that's what I was thinking, you know, the last couple of days. Like I wanted to say that. You just want to keep Nikhil Alexander-Walker, N-A-W, until he's 90 years old. Seriously. You do. Obviously, you want to keep Anthony Edwards till he's 90 also, but just saying. Anthony Edwards in an amazing second half. Obviously, again, some great plays getting to the basket. Only 2 of 8 from outside. He had an awful week from three-point range. So, what was he? 2 of 16 after the Laker game. So, this would make him 4. So, at least he got to 4 now. He doubled his 3 points made. But 8 total attempts in this one. So, what would that be? 4 of 24. 4 of 24. Wow. That's the equivalent of shooting 1 of 8 from the floor, isn't it? 4 of 24. Man. 4 of 24, it's pretty yucky. It's pretty yucky. My brain is stopping. No, that'd be 6. Yeah, 1 of 6. It's still terrible though. Yeah, it's pretty bad. Not 1 of 8. 1 of 8 would be if he got to 36. Yeah, sorry. So my apologies there. 1 of 8. Yeah. So anyhow, 1 of 6. Yeah. So anyhow, my mind is stopping. I'm getting crazy here. My deep utmost apologies. But this was a wonderful comeback. It was a feature presentation. I should have thrown that in, but okay, I'll put it here.
And now, our feature presentation.
Late on that one again. Back-to-back weeks, I'm late on that one again. I apologize, but that's how it goes, I guess. Again, what an amazing comeback. What a fun basketball game. You know, you're watching it. They're down by 20. They're down by 22. They're down by 17. They're down by 18. They're down by 16. And then say, okay, if we can, and I remember thinking, if we can get within 10 or less by halftime, maybe, just maybe this team can have enough oomph in the second half to pull this off. And the Wolves did get within that. They got to basically 10 at the end of the half. And I'm like, okay, I guess, sure. I guess there's a shot. Like Anthony Edwards started getting aggressive, started hitting shots and so did other players like Gnaw and such. And it's like, oh, okay, we have a shot at this, I guess. And then it's like, oh, we really have a shot at this. Everything changed, and it was so wonderful. So the Lone Wolf Award winner for this episode, my God, it's like all over the place. I know who the Johnny Flynn popcorn maker is going to go to. Oh, I know who it's going to. It could go to Jaden, too. 0 of 8 from the floor. What the bleep? 0 of 8. It's terrible. Yeah, terrible. He's a huge disappointment. He might be the disappointment of the season. Spoiler alert for State of the Timberwolves 24. Hopefully the world champion Timberwolves. God, but we'll see. The Lone Wolf is a bit tougher. Like, Anthony Edwards, an amazing game, but he kind of stunk, you know, from outside the whole week. This is tough. It's kind of all over the place. Even though Nikhil Alexander-Walker had some rough games, but I'm going to give it to him. Nikhil Alexander-Walker is going to get the Lone Wolf Award for this episode. Naz Reid right on the cusp of it. He did not have a particularly good game versus the Clippers. 0 of 3 from outside and 3 of 7 overall for 6 points. I want to give it to Nikhil Alexander-Walker. Naz Reid, you know what? You guys can share it. Yes. Yes, you guys were both wonderful. Wonderful, this, you know, for the generally speaking. Naz Reid had 2 great games. Unfortunately, both in losses, where Nikhil actually helped the Wolves win. So that's where Nikhil might get the little extra nod for that one. But Naz Reid's right there with him. The Johnny Flynn Memorial Popcorn Maker, whatever you want to say, is Rudy Gobert. He was making popcorn versus the Clippers. And yes, he hurt his ribs a bit, but he should be okay, that type of thing. Hitting the floor and all that. What are you doing, man? What are you doing trying to get us in trouble here with the refs and the NBA, the league itself? When you start, like, when you start poking the hornet's nest, you know, things happen. You know, you got to watch it. I can understand you want to do that. Do that. Do that. Do that with your teammates on the plane or something, you know? Do that with your teammates on the plane or like a little conversation with each other on the bench or whatever. That's when you should do that. Not directly, right, at the official, right, on camera and all that. It's just not worth it. Just don't do it. Don't do it. You know, it wasn't worth it. So, and obviously, it didn't exactly have that great of a week anyway. We could have used your help versus Anthony Davis. Would we have won the game? I don't know. Probably not. But maybe. But maybe. That's what's annoying. And maybe certain guys like, you know, Conley and Edwards hit some damn shots from outside, when, you know, which they kind of did in this game, especially Conley. Thank you. Edwards, of course, again, at least utilizing his strengths of being able to drive to the basket, and it's greatly appreciated. Thank you very, very much. Anthony Edwards, great game. But no Lone Wolf for this one. You've got enough this year anyway. So, and you're going to get some more, I'm sure, coming forward. Whew, up and down all over the place. Weird episode, but weird. But with that, we're going to come back with 3 games to preview and 2 of them against Le Jazz. Back here on Timberwolves Explosion. Like I said, 3 games to preview. Timberwolves playing the Utah Jazz a couple times. Rudy Gobert should be back to play in that one, of course. So we're going to jump to that here as soon as possible. My apologies. Again, this would be not until Saturday. That'd be the 16th, 8:30. I like these later games. They're very enjoyable. Delta Center. Seems like they've been there forever, huh? Rudy Gobert ribs. This is the injury report. Rudy Gobert ribs. Monte Morris hamstring as of March the 8th. Karl-Anthony Towns, obviously the meniscus deal. It's on March the 6th, but the surgery didn't happen until Monday, so yeah, it's going to be a bit into April, but for him to be reevaluated, him being Karl Anthony Towns, Jordan Clarkson, groin. This is Utah, of course, former Timberwolf Chris Dunn, rest. Rest? How many games has he played? Resting from what? Practice? We're talking about practice here. Okay, sorry. Taylor Hendricks, toe. Yeah, that could be a pain in the butt. That'd be the power forward of the Spaz. Sorry about that. Points per game. Okay, points. Minnesota's 19th. Utah's 7th. Rebounds. Minnesota's 9th. Utah's 3rd. Wow. 3-point percentage. Minnesota 4th. Utah 18th. Assists. Minnesota 17th. Utah 9th. Turnovers. Minnesota 22nd. Utah 29th. Assist to turnover ratio. We're both tied at 22nd. And block shots. Wolves 5th. Utah 8th, Steals Wolves 14th, Utah 28th. The Jazz trail the series, so the Wolves are leading the series, winning by double-digit points in the both previous games, November the 4th and November the 30th. It's been a while. Hopefully the Timberwolves can sweep the season series here with these upcoming games, sweep this little two-game dealy, and sweep the season series. These are both in Utah, though, so both road games. A little bit tougher environment, I'm sure. The Wolves haven't always dominated in Utah. The Jazz are only 1-4 in their last five, only beating Washington 127-115, otherwise getting beat by Miami. Chicago, both very close games there, losing to the Bulls only by 2. Denver Nuggets crushed them recently on March the 9th, 142-121, and the Celtics beat the Jazz pretty handily, 123-107 most recently. Same night, the Wolves came back and beat the Clips. So I would like to believe the Wolves can sweep the season series. I'm going to step out in faith and believe they will, actually. Lauri Markkanen is one of the, they call him one of the best white players in the NBA. Okay, well, that's nice to know, I suppose. He is the leading scorer of the Utah Jazz and former Timberwolves draft pick, but it was made for Chicago. The pick was made for Chicago in the, I believe this was the Jimmy Butler trade, if I remember correctly, or was this a different one? Pretty sure it was Butler, yeah. It was ultimately to get Butler. Oh, boy. Would have been nice. So they got Markkanen and, the Bulls got Markkanen and Zach LaVine. That's actually pretty good. Markkanen didn't do near as much with the Bulls as he's been doing with Utah. He's definitely taken off there, become an all-star player. I don't think a whole lot of people saw Lauri Markkanen as an all-star player, but that day eventually came. Colin Sexton, 5 assists with his 18 points, Markkanen 23 points and 8.5 rebounds. Jordan Clarkson possibly injured. He's been a Wolves killer with the Lakers, the Cavaliers, and the Utah Jazz over the years. Chris Dunn has played in 57 games. That was the Wolves draft pick around that time. 5 points, 4 assists on the season. Nothing too spectacular, but he is shooting 48%, so give him credit, and 40% from three-point range. So Chris Dunn actually is making his shots. He's definitely improved his offensive game over the years, but still not a major role necessarily, but a significant role. At least he's like a, he's a good backup at this stage, and good for him, I guess. There's something going on. Rest, though, only that many minutes he needed rest, but I suppose it happens. Maybe he's sore somewhere. John Collins, 15 points, 8.5 rebounds, so good for him at the end of the day. But I do believe, Walker Kessler Jr., the Wolves draft pick that was ultimately traded in the included in the Gobert trade, almost 3 blocks a game. 7.5 rebounds and 8.5 points for Walker Kessler. Kelly Olynyk, who's been all over the place, 8 points and 5 rebounds with 4.5 assists. Actually, kind of a nice overall guy. Wouldn't mind having him here, honestly, but yeah, in a reserve role like he is with Utah, him being Kelly Olynyk, wouldn't mind having him around, actually. But that's what that is. I wouldn't pay him a ton of money, though, necessarily, to play 20 minutes a game. The Wolves are going to sweep the Jazz. I hope I'm not wrong, and I might be. But the Wolves will sweep the Utah Jazz. First game, these are both again in Utah. Anthony Edwards is going to lead the Wolves in the first game with about 33 points for Anthony Edwards. The Wolves will win. Final score, 122-110. The second game will be lower scoring. In my humble opinion, Wolves win again, 108-96. Leading scorer, Naz Reid, 28. The Wolves will sweep the Jazz on la saison. So good for us. Now we get to play the Denver Nuggets next. How exciting. The defending world champions, and I do believe they are number one in the West at the momento. 46 wins. They are second in the Northwest. So I guess the stupid Thunder are still ahead of us. And Denver, of course they are. The Wolves are considered third place. Third place in the division and in the conference. Isn't that weird? Vlatko Kankar. Okay, I hope I'm saying that correctly. Kankar. Knee injury way back in August. So obviously he's out for the season. At least I would think so, if it's been that long. Denver is 14th in points, 9th in rebounds, tied with the Wolves. 4th in field goal percentage, a notable stat because of 4th is really high. 14th in three-point percentage, 4th in assists, 5th in turnovers, number 1 in the league in assist-to-turnover ratio. So that can definitely help you win a title. 11th in blocks, 22nd in STLs. The Wolves lead the season series with a convincing win way back on November the 1st. We haven't played Denver since. Oh my God, we haven't played Denver since that. Yeah, the Wolves. That was a statement game for the Timberwolves after a putrid start. Where were we, like 1-2? Like, looked really disappointing. We couldn't even beat the freaking Raptors. It was like, the Raptors aren't good. Come on. But we never win there, though. We never win in Toronto. Even the year the Wolves were number one in the West with 58 wins, we still lost in Toronto. So it is what it is. Three games remaining versus this world champion Denver team. Tuesday, March the 19th. Friday, the 29th. So I'll be previewing them. No, I will not be previewing them next week, I don't think. My brain's stopping. No. I don't know what I'm talking about. I think it's two shows away. And then Wednesday, April the 10th. The November 1st was in Target Center. It was a huge statement win for the Wolves. And ever since then, the Wolves had been pretty much the best team in the Western Conference. Pretty much. Or close to it, obviously, with a few losses. And now the injury to Carl doesn't help. This one's in Target Center, and then the next two will be in Denver. I want to believe the Wolves can go 3-0 this week. I do. I really do. Denver's been playing really well. This is kind of almost like a must-win in a lot of ways. Like, if you want to have home court advantage in the Western Conference, this is kind of a must-win type of deal. I don't know what's going to happen on March 29th and April the 10th, but you got to protect your home floor. I'm going to step out in faith and see the Wolves do that. Anthony Edwards with an amazing night, I have a feeling. I think Naz Reid will be a huge factor as well offensively. Mike Conley hopefully has his moments, but maybe it'll be like a Nikhil Alexander-Walker type of game where he goes off for 22, something like that. Has a nice solid game. I think it's going to take a total team effort from something like that. Alexander-Walker, Anthony Edwards, Naz Reid, guys like that. Combining for 60 to 70, maybe even 60 to 70 points. Something like that, 70 points. And the Wolves get the job done, though, believe it or not, at an 8 p.m. start. So it'll be as if we were in Mountain Time Zone because it's on, I believe it's NBA TV. So it is a national broadcast, but national cable type of thing with, NBA TV. You have to have the sports package if you're living in, other parts of the country. Obviously, we have it locally with Bally Sports North. And then Alt for Denver. Good for them. 46-20 on the season are the Denver Nuggets. What's their win? What's their last? Yeah, they've won 4 in a row. Shoot. They beat Phoenix 117-107. Or they lost to Phoenix, 117-107 on March the 5th. Beat the Celtics 115-109. Wow. Crushed the Jazz, like I said earlier, 142-121. Beat Toronto 125-119. And got past Miami. And the NBA Finals again, right? 100-88. Denver and Miami again, right? And that was in Miami. So, yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if the Wolves dropped this one. I wish we wouldn't, but this is the kind of game you really want to win, especially if you're at home. You want to protect your home court. But very, very good possibility the Wolves lose this one. But I'm going to step out in faith and predict a victory for the Wolves. A victory for the Wolves. Lower scoring. That's what it's going to take. Yep. 106. Wolves squeezed by the Denver Nuggets with the win, with a total team effort type of deal. With that, we'll take a quick break and come back to hear what you guys had to say in Fan Interaction. And are back here on Timberwolves Explosion, segment number 3, fan interaction segment. At TWolvesEX, at TWolvesEX is the X, or X Twitter, X Post, whatever the hell it's called. And, of course, Timberwolves _ Explosion is the Instagram. So I really appreciate those of you that have interacted on there historically. So far, yeah, like lately there hasn't been a whole lot of interaction. But, yeah, I mean, that's an option for you. Instagram, of course, Facebook.com/ Timberwolves Explosion. Again, huge shout out to Scott Doherty and Wolfpack from Flip to Finch. So, of course, huge shout out there. Do join that Facebook page. Great interaction. And, yeah, Scott Doherty's a real good guy. So, yeah, you're going to love interacting with him and the other Wolves fans on that Facebook page. So, highly recommended. Highly recommended indeed. I'm trying to check the, see if there's any interaction on the Facebook page real quick for Timberwolves Explosion. Not sure why it's taking so long, but no, unfortunately, no interaction there. That's a bummer. But X Twitter or whatever the hell it is, yes, we're going to go there right here, right now. Thank you, Levi, Tanay, and Vince Germano for retweeting the most recent episode. Levi and Tanay are from New Zealand. Vince Germano from Victoria, Australia. That would be, you know, Melbourne, Australia. Benzo liked some conversation as well. Benzo coming in from the Bronx. Major shout out there. Tanay Brown. Quote posting, as they call it. Quote posting, quote tweeting. John Krasinski. Johnny K. Johnny Athletic. Johnny Athletic says, more Gobert. I bait the bullet every game. I'll be the bad guy again. That speaks to what I think is the truth. Once again, I'll take the fine. But I think it's hurting our game. I know the betting and all that is becoming bigger and bigger, but it shouldn't feel that way. So, very interesting. Indeed. Indeed. So, I mean, I suppose that's why he's taking the fine, because he thinks it's hurting the game of basketball. So, what's going on? And it probably is somewhere, but maybe not that game. We'll see. Maybe. Tanay Brown saying, Rudy is speaking the truth here. So, yep. I was saying, annoying game just doesn't feel like it's our night at all. Two steps forward, three steps back. Annoying. That was the stupid Laker game. The response from Tanay Brown is, couldn't match AD's size at all. Yeah, my God. I think he deserved a lot of his free throws because we didn't have anyone to match up with him. Yeah, that's what killed us. Properly in the trenches. Jaden McDaniels has been a major disappointment this season in my eyes. How has he regressed so much offensively? Yeah, and I was saying Jaden has definitely fallen off. I got to think both of us saw him taking a huge step forward this year, but that certainly has not happened. Yeah, I mean, Jaden's been a major disappointment. And it's funny, when you get that guaranteed money, people change. It's just, you wish they wouldn't, but some do. Hopefully Jaden can make whatever adjustments he needs to in the offseason, and he comes back a completely better player next year. And doggone it, he's going to have to, because it's... I don't know. I'm sick of albatross contracts. You know what that means, where it's a player that's just not living up to it. It's extremely frustrating. Mostly likes and such. And then, yep, Tanay Brown says, can't believe I turned this game off in the second quarter. That would be the Clippers game when things are going real sour. I don't blame you if you did, though. Can't believe I turned this game off in the second quarter. We'll have to watch the replay. Yep, watch a replay. And I'll be honest, I pretty much about kind of sort of did the same. But I watched that whole replay, and it was a lot of fun. Levi says, I checked the score and we were down by more than 20, so I quickly wrote this one off. Was stunned to see the Wolves won by 18. It looks like a few players had great games, and yeah, they did. That was absolutely amazing. Levi Brown has a crazy stat from OptiStats. He's quote tweeting it. Since 2000-2001 season, there have been over 5,500 instances of an NBA team falling behind by 22 plus points on the road, including the playoffs. The Timberwolves are only one of those to come back and later take a 22-plus point lead themselves. The Timberwolves are the only one? Wow. Wow. Oh, I suppose. Yep, because I'm getting shades of that awful Golden State game way back in the day. That's when I first truly started hating the Golden State Warriors. Oh, yeah. Tell you what was it? Like about that time, about 2001-ish, Larry Hughes was on that team, but the Wolves led by 18 and then lost by 28. It was like bleeping ridiculous. So we actually did not fall behind 22 points in that game. So that's the amazing part. And that was an amazing stat at the time too. So sorry to bring up that negativity, but it is 20 plus years ago. So whatever. That was, yeah, that's what I was thinking. Wait a minute, didn't they do that to us? And yeah, but we did not fall, we did not take a 22-point lead in that game. The Timberwolves took an 18-point lead and lost by 28. It was just sick. I mean, the place was silent, and I think Kevin McHale got up and stormed out. I remember that, and he like, you know, when you do the, you know, you do your hand gesture, like, ah, you, like, ridiculous, you know, where you would just swing your hand at somebody, like, get the hell out of here. It was like that. He was mad as hell, and so was I. Larry Hughes and co. with the Golden State Warriors back in the early 2000s were jumping the passing lanes and scoring, and jumping the passing lanes and scoring, and that's what kept happening. It was insane. We were killing that team, and then they killed us. Okay, yep, Random Hoops. Yep, he liked a tweet response, yeah, because he was showing the two clutch shots by two legends of the game, Sonics and Spurs, in the mid-90s. Ah, man. This is actually the early half of the 90s when the Sonics still had the real uniforms. Like, the best era of basketball uniforms is pretty much like late 80s, early 90s. Pretty much most of the 80s and then into the early 90s. The Spurs still had their best logo. They didn't have that boring gray look. They had that colorful logo. Gorgeous. The Sonics with the green and gold. Oh, man. Yep, so it's, I believe that's Ernie Johnson, right? Eddie Johnson, excuse me. Eddie Johnson, number 80 up, and Sean Elliott also. Back-to-back type of thing. What a great basketball era. Oh, man. I miss it so much. I miss that era so much. I mean, I take it back tomorrow. I take it back today. You can take all of your three-point shots and all the other fancy-dancy this, and your Kevin Durant, your Steph Curry, your, you know, your LeBron James even, and guys like that. I'll take this era any day, man. I don't know. Maybe it's just my sentimental value as a younger person and all that, but I miss those days. That was fun to watch. Basketball to me was just, you know, can't miss. It was can't miss back then. You know, I still love the game of basketball itself. I don't necessarily like everything about what it's became over the years. No. I don't know. I mean, players always talk trash, but it wasn't as often. It just, I don't know. It felt like you're just out there playing the game and all that. Like, you hate your opponent without showing them up, that type of thing. And the lovey stuff, the lovey-dovey crap also, which is annoying and fake. You know, I'm not a big fan of that either. Sorry, I'm an old fogey. I'm an old fogey. I don't like the lovey-dovey crap either. Even though I suppose in the workplace you kind of have to be that way, whether you lovey-dovey your coworkers or not. That's just how it is. You know, you got to be lovey-dovey. Okay, I've dragged this out too far, but I apologize. It was a great era of basketball. To me, Anthony Edwards brings back that era. That's why I like Anthony Edwards so much. He doesn't have that Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, you know, Russell Westbrook, James Harden vibe. He doesn't. He has more of the Dominique Wilkins, Michael Jordan, you know, vibe. That's what he has to me. Like the good old days, you know, those kind of players. Maybe a little bit of Larry Bird mixed in. LeBron's style of play brings back Magic Johnson, no doubt about that. Yeah, he's the closest thing to Magic today. He's like kind of like a super Magic Johnson in a lot of ways. Anthony Edwards to me, like, as long as he's not missing 9 million shots, but I suppose Dominique and even Michael would have off days. You know, the shot's just not falling quite to the level that they're expecting. In a lot of ways, yeah, I mean, Anthony Edwards does have a bit of Dominique to him, in my opinion. Maybe not the, you know, the absolutely spectacular dunks, but he's like a more muscular version of a Dominique-style player, because I'm really careful about saying Jordan. I really am. He has Jordan-esque, he has a Jordan-esque style to his game, but he also has a Dominique style, where Dominique was similar to Michael. So that's, you know, he was. They were similar players in a lot of ways. Dominique and Michael, the mid-range shot, driving to the hoop, you know, getting fouls, but also, again, just flat beating people, getting to the basket, timing their shots, and also setting up their teammates for great plays and making great defensive stops as well, especially in Michael's case, more so than Dominique. So the fact that Anthony Edwards has brought such an athletic defensive game and how excellent he was defensively versus the Clippers, I thought was a huge thing, like absolutely big. And it's just, you know, that's the side of Anthony Edwards that makes him so special, is not just the fact he can explode by people to the basket You know, like he's, you know, almost unstoppable going to the basket, and, you know, the power dunks and such, but the great defensive ability as well. You know, just the defensive presence where he's able to, you know, just be there, force a missed shot, block a shot, come up from behind and make a spectacular block over and over. And it's not just about, you know, being on highlight reels. It's about, you know, getting the stop. It's about simply making the stop. And that's what's exciting about Anthony Edwards and why Timberwolves fans should have a very, very bright outlook for their club. And I certainly do. I join you in so many ways. I think Anthony Edwards is going to have a very, very special career for many, many years. With that said, thank you so much for listening. Please do put a positive rating. I saw there was a positive rating. There was a 5-star rating added on Apple Podcasts. No review put, but hey, at least you put a positive rating, and thank you. I didn't get to see who the person is, unfortunately. Maybe there's a way to do that, but I'm not sure how at the moment. But really appreciate you. Anybody else, please, if you know anybody else willing to do that, please. It really helps the algorithms to the show. 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. Liking the videos, video podcast, if you know what I mean. They're podcast form, but they're like I guess it kind of counts as a video on YouTube. Also, again, Google Podcast is going away on April the 2nd. So that's all basically YouTube Music. That app already exists, and the Timberwolves Explosion show is there because Timberwolves Explosion is on YouTube now for that purpose, to be on YouTube Music. The YouTube Music app, but again, you can watch it in YouTube form, but it is the show logo with me talking like I'm talking right now. That's what it is. It's not me on video. There's not much to look at anyway. Like, what are you going to see? My head wagging around, my lips flapping. Like, is it really worth it? I don't know. To some people, I guess it is. I don't know. If I add graphics and want to add more of a video aspect to the show, I mean, someday maybe. I kind of been there and done that in the past. It's time consuming, and you know, work days, I don't really have that kind of time to make like a spectacular video production. So that's kind of how it is. I'm more of a podcast type of guy anyway, at the end of the day. Again, thank you so much for listening. Please tell your friends, the sharing, the tweeting and such. I really appreciate you very much. Remixing on Instagram, sharing on Facebook, and of course the repost, retweet, whatever, on Twitter. Thank you all very much, and God bless. Hopefully the Timberwolves can get past the Denver Nuggets. Wouldn't that be great?